Okay, good morning, everybody. I will talk about a topic which is actually very close to Microsoft Q that Mike Friedman leads, current interest. But before I do that, I was trying to remind myself how I first came across Michael Friedman, because various people said various things, and I have not been able to quite recollect the details. Of course, I heard his name, mostly from Chetan and others, for a long time. Then in 2004, there's a program at KITP called Exotic. It was called Exotic. I think Matthew and I were running it, and there were others. And there was this person sitting whose office was very close to my office, was always wearing very colorful shirts. I don't know what happened to those shirts, Mike. You had this Hawaiian shirt type shirt. Clearly an incredibly smart man, but I have never come across him, and I thought I knew everybody in physics. And so I asked someone that, who is this man? And I was told, that's Mike Friedman, you know. And he was certainly had me completely fooled. I thought he was a card-carrying condensed matter physicist already, but apparently not. And then Mike, Chetan, Alexei, and I, more or less at the same time, got a grant together. It's a grant to do topological quantum computation. It's Alex's first grant. And I came to know Mike very well. Then I visited him in Redmond. And I still remember we were talking physics. And he said he had to disappear. And I thought he had some personal business. I didn't ask what it was. Didn't know him well enough. And he came back 2 hours after that. And somehow in conversation came out that he went climbing. And I said, but the mountains are very far. I can see them. You know, how did you come back so fast? He said, well, I use a climbing wall. That's the first time I heard the word climbing wall. And I had no idea what it is. You explained it to me that, you know, it's something crazy that people go to a room and climb. And I was very intrigued because only climbing I believed in at that time and still believe in now is climbing into a bed to sleep. And so it's kind of untrue that to be Mike's collaborator or even friend, you have to be a big mountaineer impression many of my friends gave you yesterday, like Chetan and Kirill, kind of give the impression you got to be like, you know, really tough and have to go to the top of all kinds of remote mountains to be Mike's friend. It turns out, no, you could just spend all your time in restaurants, like I do, and still be Mike's close friend. So I'll have a few more things to talk about Mike. What I'll talk about on a more serious tone is this concept of Majorana. Majorana, for this purpose, is a hypothetical particle, but I think it's not going to remain hypothetical very long. So let me quickly give you the history of Majorana fermion. So Majorana was an Italian physicist who was interested in writing kind of a real version of Dirac equation. Dirac theory came out in 1930, and around 1935, he wrote down a version of Dirac equation where the spinner, you did not have to deal with imaginary quantities, and then he disappeared. So his paper came out in 1937, and this paper actually was submitted and written by Fermi based on Majorana's work, and then Majorana mysteriously disappeared. So he's a kind of a rare person in physics. You know, in physics, we don't have romantic figures. Physicists don't disappear. They fight with each other, and they live forever and keep on publishing. And Majorana, at a very young age, disappeared, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him later on. And neutrino is considered by many to be a Majorana particle. I'm not sure who first suggested it. Majorana's original paper is in Italian. I looked at it, could not figure out if he's the one who originally suggested that neutrinos may be Majorana. Neutrinos were already hypothesized by Pauli in early 30s, so it's conceivable that Majorana was the first individual to suggest that neutrinos may be Majorana. But it's part of the lore. There's a double beta decay experiment going on in Italy, and if you see neutrino-less double beta decay experiment, apparently that will establish that neutrinos are Majorana. Neutrino and antineutrino will be then the same particle. And this has consequences for lepton number conservation. I'm not going to talk about this. Neutralino supersymmetry is a Majorana fermion. In condensed matter, I think Majorana first arose in a very important very deep paper. This paper still amazes me by Nick Reed, our chair, and I think Green was his student, in 2000, where this is a long paper, everything is worked out there, where they conjectured and then showed that this Moore-Reed wave function, if you take that as the wave function five half fractional quantum Hall effect that we believe it to be, then this is actually the same in some precise mathematical sense as the chiral spinless P plus IP superconductor. And quasi-particles of high fractional quantum Hall effect are in some sense the same as Majorana particles, which are localized in the vortices of this chiral P plus IP superconductor. And I would say this is kind of, there are other papers before, I'm not giving a full historical account, I'm giving the historical account that is relevant for this community, but this, I would say, is the beginning of Majorana in condensed matter in this subject. Okay. Again, there are other papers. There are papers by Volovic, even my colleague Viktor Yakovenko before that, but I would say that this is the paper that put the thing formally on the map as what to look for. So then Alexey Kitaev has a paper, had a paper which was not very well known until recently in 2001, where he created a 1D model where Majoranas will be, he basically it's a chiral P-wave 1D model where Majoranas will be localized at the end of 1D chain. We pointed out that you can, with Mike Friedman in a paper 2005, that you can construct a Majorana qubit. We called him fractional quantum Hall qubit because his Majoranas are basically Ising anion. And if that's true, then you can also talk about strontium ruthenite, which is thought to be a P-wave superconductor, but there is an issue of spin there, so and two-dimensionality. So it's not very easy to find the half vortices where the Majorana will be localized in strontium ruthenite. You have to do some work. There is recent paper from University of Urbana, Budakin and co-workers, there's a science paper that came out a couple of months ago where this half vortex may have been seen. So this is an exciting development. Then a very important paper came by Charlie Kane, who will talk later in the day, who pointed out that if you take a topological insulator and put an ordinary SF superconductor next to it, you'll reproduce a spinless P-wave superconductor. So all the problems we had with strontium ruthenite will go away if you take a topological insulator and use proximity effect to induce superconductivity from an SF superconductor. So the surface layer of topological insulator, which is basically an electron gas, which will become a chiral P-wave superconductor, and you can localize Majorana. Now, this is, of course, a beautiful suggestion. The only problem is that real topological insulators did not exist that time and do not exist now. All the topological insulators people are doing experiments on, which show the correct band structure on the surface, are actually all bulk metals. They are heavily doped just for material science reason. There are a lot of vacancies and so on. And huge activity is going on all over the world trying to create a topological insulator, which is a true insulator. When that happens, I think this will be a very important architecture that experimentalists have to pay attention to. But right now, you cannot do Majorana experiment on this structure until the bulk is insulating. But Charlie will talk about in great details. I'm not following the most recent, and maybe something I'm saying is already out of date. So this is an exciting possibility. What we realized is that just as this is the right sequence, what we realized that you don't even need a topological insulator. In topological insulator, even not breaking time reversal invariance, if you're willing to break time reversal invariance, then you can just take mundane materials. You can take ordinary semiconductor, even gallium arsenide, indium arsenide, indium antimonide, and the same thing would happen. If you put that next to a superconductor, ordinary SF superconductor, then the spin orbit coupling will create, provided you lift the, you break the time reversal invariance with some kind of Zeeman splitting, which proposed ferromagnetic insulator, then that will do the same trick. And this something I'm going to talk about. Jason Alicia then showed some simplification that if you have both Rajba and Dresselhaus coupling, then you may not even need the ferromagnetic insulator. And later on, we pointed out Roman Luchin, who is sitting in the audience, that you would not even need the ferromagnetic insulator. You can just apply a small parallel magnetic field. If you just have a one-dimensional system, so you just put a one-dimensional semiconductor wire on the top of a superconductor, and you'll essentially realize Alexey's Majorana 1D chain that he talked about 10 years ago, but could not really come up with any physical realization. And of course, all of them that ties with the passion that Michael Friedman and Alexey Kitaev has brought, I guess, approximately since 1995. If this happens, you can do topological quantum computation. So this is a very fast summary of where I want to go, and the two things in purple are what I'll talk about when I get to the crux of the matter. So for those of you who are not experts, let me just tell you where this Majorana fermion or this anion or this Ising anion resides. So what you need is all of these things that I talked about effectively create a particular kind of two-dimensional superconductor, which is a spinless PX plus IPUF superconductor. If you do that, this chiral PUF spinless superconductor, PUF superconductor, then there'll be zero energy mode at the vortex cores. and theory is pretty constraining here, then you find that the zero energy mode must be a muon, it must be an anion. It cannot be a regular fermion because it's at zero energy. It is both an electron and a hole, so these bound states at the vortex core will be muon. For ordinary SOF vortex that we are all familiar with, vortices and superconductors, there is no zero energy mode. You have just electrons and holes. These are called Bogolyubov-Dejean levels. But for this chiral PUF superconductor, there will be a zero energy mode, and that is the topologically protectedizing anion mode that we are calling muon. Now, this excited Mike enormously. I was very concerned because we had this theoretical idea that you can take semiconductors and create this, you know, generic structure where you do not need anything fancy. And I think I was giving a talk at Dresden where Mike was in the audience on some topological conference. I think Charlie was there too. And right after my talk, Mike came to me and said, this is it. This is what we are going to now pursue because this looks like a something that is much easier to make and even give it a name. This name was given by Mike. Later on, he was talking to me. He kept on alluding to ISH. So finally asked, what is ISH? He said, oh, ISH is the structure that you guys have come up with. It's Ising semiconductor heterostructure. And one of the things that excited him, which I must confess I do not completely understand, and we have written a paper on it, is that normal Ising anion system, you cannot do universal quantum computation. Because certain gates, for example, pi over gates, certain gates are not allowed there. I'm not going to get into these details. People have already alluded to this, and there'll be more discussion. But if you can do certain topological structure, we call this dynamical topology changes. For example, you can really make, I mean, these are not mathematical shapes. One is talking about making real structures looking like this. Now, ordinary fractional quantum Hall effect, this is not even a fantasy because you need high mobility, you need very high magnetic field. But perhaps with these genetic structures, which could be almost anything, you can at least imagine in your dream or science fantasy, you can make things like this. So that's one of the advantages of this ISH structure, that in principle you may be able to do universal topological quantum computation. That's one of the excitements. There are some problems that I'm not going to get into. This is a very active subject, and there are various issues, but it's being studied. Now, the first paper I wrote with Michael Friedman, I actually have four papers with Michael Friedman, which makes me like the second or third most active collaborators of Michael. But it's a bit cheating. Actually, I'm the second, I found out. But it's cheating, because all of them are with Chetan Nayak. And Chetan like has 12 or 13 papers with Mike, so I'm a secondary effect. So this paper we wrote was a result of a grant we had together, and our original idea, which we talk about in the proposal, and this is something I think Steve Simon alluded to yesterday, that you're going to use an AFM tip, and you're going to literally move this sigma particles, these Ising anions around to braid, go around. Because, you know, we didn't know how to move them and so on. And we seriously took this idea. I mean, I thought that, yeah, it's hard, but it can be done. And then we realized one day that you don't really actually need to move them. The current is flowing. This flow of current is sigma particles moving. So all you need to do is to be clever about how to do the braiding to come up with the correct interferometry to do the quantum computation. And so we wrote a paper pointing this out. And the experimentalist got very excited because apparently this kind of structure can be made, and experimentalists like Charlie Marcus, Jim Eisenstein, Horst Stormer, and others thought this is an experiment. That's not easy, but it is doable, and there has been a lot of progress that I'll not talk about. So this is a very active area of looking for topological matter directly, looking at 5-hour fractional quantum Hall effect, and doing this interferometry experiment, and if they're non-abelian, then that will lead to topological quantum computation. And because of this protection, error will be very small. And in this paper, we quote an error of 10 to the minus 30. This is a made-up number. It depends on what the gap is and what the temperature is. And this is just the thermal error. So you may have unknown quasi-particles in your structure, then the error will be more. But this is certainly a way to go. And I think my biggest contribution to this subject has been to come up with this thing. Chetan and I came up with this thing. This is my understanding of topology, that a coffee cup is equivalent to a donut. And Mike did not object, so in some sense I think it's correct. And this now, if you look at Google, in many, many places a figure like this is reproduced to explain topology. I mean, many, many talks use this figure or a figure, a more crude version of this figure to explain what topology is and how things are protected. So basically, if you have a quantum donut, then this hole that there is, this hole here, this hole here, the handle, which is here, this handle will be protected, and that's the topological protection. Well, this is classical protection, but if you have a quantum donut, this is topological protection, and somehow in Majorana, there is a quantum donut. That's the basic idea. Mike then went ahead and got a patent. So Mike Friedman has not only been very influential in my research life, I'm hoping someday to be very wealthy from Mike Friedman. When all the topological quantum computers are built everywhere, I expect to get a penny every time a topological quantum computer is sold. And so we have a patent on topological quantum. Now I'm going to talk only about superconductors and Majorana. So one question that comes up, that all the discussions we have had is just one Majorana. Now, when you're doing topological quantum computation, you will not have just one Majorana. For example, you have to take one Majorana around another Majorana. That's the braiding. That gives you the topological gate. When you do that, then the two Majoranas, if they see each other, and they do, because both of them are there, then this topological protection will be broken exponentially, small, but it will be broken. So how much is it? And this, it turns out, can be calculated. And Roman Luchin, who is sitting in the audience, and my colleague Victor Galitsky, and a very smart student, Meng Cheng, we calculated this splitting. This was, people knew that it would be exponential, but there was no really direct calculation of this. And for the PX plus IPY chiral superconductor, this calculation can be done. So we did a very well-defined calculation. We took two vortices with Majorana localized in the vortex core, and we basically asked that if you bring them close to each other, or even far, that doesn't really matter, and they see each other, what is the tunnel splitting? So it's very much like undergraduate quantum mechanics calculation, where you have two quantum wells, each have, they have levels, you bring them together, they split into symmetric and anti-symmetric level. We did basically the same calculation for these PX plus IPI vortices, and what we found is that, yes, there is an exponential piece. That means the two, when they're very well separated, the splitting is small. This is the coherence length, so R is the separation. But surprisingly for me, there was an oscillatory piece also, which is why it became a phase blurrer. So there's an oscillatory piece, and then there was related work for fractional quantum Hall system by Steve Simon, and I think maybe even one other group, where numerically these oscillations were found also. So we think it's a real effect. So in some sense, even if the two Majoranas are very close to each other, there are special positions, special spatial positions, where their splitting will vanish, will be zero because of this oscillation. But obviously, if you keep them very far apart, then the splitting is very small, and there'll be no problem in doing your topological quantum computation because it's still protected exponentially. So I told you, I'll tell you a little bit about Majorana, so let me tell you quickly something about Majorana. So he was born in Sicily in 1906, a very, very smart person, and he disappeared in 1938, literally disappeared. There are all kinds of speculations that he may have become a monk, he may have just jumped into the sea from a ship, since he never came back, we do not know. Fermi, Enrico Fermi, apparently said, this is from Wikipedia, so its veracity is, you know, its veracity is subject to Wikipedia standards. But I did not go to the original sources. You know, Fermi was a big fan of Majorana. He, you know, basically said that there are many categories of talent, and you can classify all of them. And there are people like Galileo and Newton, and Ettore was one of them. So Fermi certainly was very, very impressed. Like all recommendation letters, I'm sure it's a huge exaggeration, but, you know, but he is comparing with Galileo and Newton. So, you know, as I already told you, that Majorana, you know, did a simple, clever modification of the Dirac equation. And so he came up with this Majorana fermion. And the main thing that you need to remember, that all of you know, is that Majorana particle is own antiparticle, so it's neutral in that sense. And experimentals are not observed. And what I'll be talking about is that, can we have emergent Majorana in solid state? If neutrino is a Majorana, then, you know, in nature you have fundamental particles that are Majorana. The question is, in condensed matter we can often construct things artificially where the Majorana emerges as some mode of a Hamiltonian, and that's what we're trying to do. This subject has attracted enormous recent press, which may not necessarily be a good thing. So Frank Wilczek wrote an article last year, well, a year and a half ago, calling Majorana Returns. I completely unashamedly stole the title of my talk from there, Majorana Returns. Then Adi Stern wrote an article last year in Nature. Physics Today covered it very recently in March, the expanding search for Majorana. And just last week, Robert Service, a reporter for Science, went even further, saying the search for Majorana fermion is nearing at last. And all of them are talking about this ish structures. Since these are mundane structures that anybody can make, the hope is a lot of people can work on it, and then you will have Majorana more easily. That's the main. So let me tell you what's going on here. So originally, you had only fractional quantum Hall system, where the Moore-Reed wave function represents, you know, the correct kind of topological protection, and it's effectively a Majorana, the particle there. So this is basically the Majorana for the elite. Why it's for the elite? If you try to do experiments in fractional quantum Hall system, you have to be a friend of Lorentz Pfeiffer. You have to have a very fancy dilution fridge. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not for everybody. And not many groups work on it. And in fact, the groups who work on it are all groups that were working on it already in the 80s, or their direct descendants, like their students and postdocs. It's a very difficult subject. Although it's a very important subject, very deep subject, it really is the Majorana for the elite. It's not for everybody. Chiral PUF superconductor, well, still, there is just one grower, Maeno, in Japan, but he gives everybody samples. But it's not clear, because there are a lot of problems there with spin-orbit coupling, and it's really not a 2D system, so it's not clear the status of seeing Majorana here, although, as I said, there is recent progress. Charlie and his student Liang Fu made a very important advance. And when topological insulators become bulk insulators, I think there'll be a lot of experiments trying to see Majorana there. Right now, I don't have anybody doing experiments here, but maybe it's going on. Our system, which I'll call bringing Majorana to the masses, is this spin-orbit coupled semiconductor superconductor. I think the excitement is because many, many groups can do experiments on this. So I'm going to talk about basically these three papers in the last 10, 15 minutes of my talk. And the basic idea is that you need strong spin-orbit coupling. You combine that in ordinary ASOF superconductor, then you get a topological superconductor. This we can establish beyond any doubt. And then that will have Majorana fermion in the vortex core. That will give you non-abelian statistics. Then you can do topological quantum computation. That's the basic idea. And this is the part which I'll concentrate on. So since I know that I'll run out of time and Nick will not give me the time that I need, he'll be tough. Let me give you the story for those of you who do not know what this basic idea is. Basic idea is that you take semiconductor, which has spin-orbit coupling, and you put an ASOF superconductor on top of it. So proximity effect will induce superconductivity here. And what is showed, and then you need a magnetic insulator, need something. This part is actually, I'm not going to emphasize this part. This part is just breaking the time reversal invariance so that you can create a Zeeman splitting. And to understand, to figure out what's going on, you have to solve these equations called Bogolyubov-Dejean equations in the presence of this spin-orbit term and the Zeeman field. And so this is just Bogolyubov-Dejean equation in the presence of spin-orbit coupling and Zeeman splitting. And then if you do that, we showed explicitly, this is a solution, I'm not going to give you all the details, that provided a certain topological condition, a very simple condition, is satisfied, you will have non-degenerate zero-energy solution in the vortex core. That means you'll have Majorana. So the basic thing is extremely simple. We showed that in a number of different ways, including using the Fafian technique that Alexei Kitaev introduced a long time ago. The condition is simple, not deceptively simple. It's really simple. Mu is the chemical potential, Fermi level, in the semiconductor, something presumably one can control with a gate. By tuning gate voltage, you can control the chemical potential here. Delta zero is the superconducting gap. Vz is the Zeeman splitting. So delta zero may not be very controllable, but both mu and Vz are in principle controllable. But let's say Vz is also constant. You have a ferromagnetic insulator, you don't really control what the Zeeman splitting is some proximity effect. Then all you need to do is to change mu, vary mu, so that this condition is satisfied. When you have equality, you have a phase transition, the phase transition first discussed by Reed and Green, which you will go from a topological to a non-topological superconductor. And once you satisfy this inequality, you will have a topological superconductor where you'll have Majorana in the vortex code on the semiconductor side. So right on the semiconductor, you localize one of these magic particles. It's completely emergent. You had nothing before. This is, of course, the way in condensed matter physics we talk about particles. It's really not a particle in the sense neutrino or proton or even electron is a particle. It's an emergent mode of the system in the sense plasmon or exciton, something like that. But it's as real as electrons and protons because experimentalists can see it. So on a somewhat deeper level, the physics you're talking about is that when you have spin-orbit coupling, what spin-orbit coupling does, in a very crude way, the description of spin-orbit coupling is, you know, each Fermi surface, so you have k squared over EM dispersion of electrons, parabolic dispersion, and usually you'll have spin up and spin down, degenerate. What spin-orbit coupling does, that it shifts the two minima with respect to each other. So you have two parabola now. You still have fermion doubling. Two parabola doesn't really give you anything. But then we realize, and I think this is what the key insight was, is that if you now introduce some kind of Zeeman splitting, you'll have this splitting, and then you can localize the Majorana in between this upper and lower. So this parabola now is, there is no fermion doubling. You have just single parabola, and it's known the moment you have just one kind of fermion, you'll have a Majorana, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So it effectively becomes spinless. Of course, in topological insulator, this is a given. It's because of the way topological insulator is, there's a symmetry, it's a given. Here, you have to do this little thing, and then you'll have a Majorana. So essentially, we came up with a technique by breaking time reversal invariance explicitly to avoid fermion doubling theorem. And then we knew that Majorana has to be there, and then we did not even need to do a calculation. We did the calculation only to show what kind of numbers, is it feasible or not, and doing the calculation, we showed. So superconductors are actually very natural hosts for Majorana. Why? I told you Majorana is basically both an electron and a hole. And superconductor, of course, you know, if you look at the Bogoliubov quasiparticle, the quasiparticle superconductor, it's this linear superposition of electron and hole. So if you have this coefficients U and V equal, U is equal to V star to be specific, then what you have is this Bogoliubov quasiparticle becomes an equal superposition of a particle and a hole. That is exactly what a Majorana is. So in some sense, if you're thinking about Majorana, thinking about superconductor is very natural, and then you just have to look for a zero state in the vortex. And sometimes these things called mid-gap states of the interfaces, and this sort of bound set often happens in condensed matter physics, and that zero energy state is your Majorana. So we solved the Bogoliubov-Dejean equation, and we showed that you can have a zero energy solution, and if you have a zero energy solution, then you have this topological protection. And the reason is very simple, that if this zero energy state, it has to be protected, it has to be immune, because it's neither an electron nor a hole. It cannot just go into these states by itself, because this is, again, you know, it's implicit in Reed and Green paper. To go from this topological superconductor to this non-topological superconductor, you must somehow go through this situation, which is, you know, closing of a bulk gap, so that you can, this zero energy solution disappear. Otherwise, a little bit of disorder or something is not going to make the zero energy state disappear. Where is it going to go? And this is the topological protection. So in from a superconductivity language, you don't even need topology to understand what this protection is. This protection is just a fact that you have a zero energy solution, and this zero energy solution cannot just disappear with finite perturbation. It has to go through this phase transition of closing of a gap. So, you know, so this, as I said, you could have various systems where you may have it. You basically need a chiral spinless PUF superconductor, and anywhere you have a chiral PUF spinless superconductor, you will have these things. And there are many suggestions, but this one is probably the easiest of all the ones, because here you are engineering the Majorana. So what did you look for? So you look for, you know, you have created it. So these Majoranas are living in these vortices, or you can take a 1D structure. I'll talk about it at the end, where they will live at the ends. But how are you going to look for it? So you make this system, and then you solve the problem, and you get your Majorana localized right here, and you have created this gap, so the Majorana is somewhere here. You have a single Fermi surface, and this is what it would look like. So structure would look like this. So you have a superconductor. Now I'm talking about the actual physical structure. You have a superconductor, aluminum or niobium, something like that. You put a quantum well, 2D quantum well here, let's say indium arsenide or indium gallium arsenide. Then for this original paper, you need to put some ferromagnetic insulator or something like that at the bottom, europium oxide or iron oxide or something, which will create a Zeeman splitting here. And then you will do experiments right in this quantum well looking for the Majorana. I'll tell you what those experiments are. So proximity effect will induce superconductivity, and then this Rajba plus Zeeman splitting will create a Majorana. Now, right after our paper came out, Jason Alicia did a beautiful, I would say, simplification of our work, where he showed that if you include system where you have both Rajbah and Russell Howe spin-orbit coupling, these are two different kinds of spin-orbit coupling, then you can actually get rid of this ferromagnetic insulator. You have to do some tuning. I do not know if anybody is actually explicitly trying to do this thing, but this ferromagnetic insulator is not actually necessary. But very soon we realized, and a collaboration among Weizmann, Caltech, and Berlin also realized, that one can go back to an original idea. I'll be done in 2 minutes. Original idea of Alexei Kitaev, where you can just use a nanowire. All you take is one-dimensional system. If you just take a one-dimensional system, you can apply a magnetic field. There is an orbital coupling of magnetic field because it's 1D. And so you can do exactly the same thing we're talking about, and Majorana will be localized at the edge. So this Majorana quantum wire system, which I don't have time to discuss the details, let me go to the experimental structure, is just like this. You take an SOF superconductor, you put an indium arsenide quantum wire on top of it, and right away you should have Majorana, provided you satisfy that condition I showed you. Right away you have Majorana localized at the edge. So this is a physical realization of the structure Alexei Kitaev talked about purely theoretically. These are actual numerical calculations done by Roman Luchin and Tudor Stanescu for this structure, explicitly taking into account indium arsenide, I think aluminum, and what I'm showing you what the density of states look like. So this is your zero energy state. You see zero energy. At zero energy, you have very well-defined peak. And the experiment, if experimentally somebody measured the density of state through tunneling, this is exactly what they would see. And this is the topological phase, where, well, now I'm calling it Vx. It's really Vz, that Zeeman splitting with a magnetic field. And here, when you're in the non-topological superconductor, there's nothing in zero energy state. And when experiments are done, we are going to produce exactly the same pictures. And experiment and theory can directly compare. This calculation includes disorder and everything. So this is what experimentalists will see. And if you see this, then this is very strong circumstantial evidence that you have the zero bias anomaly, that you have a Majorana. And so the experiment will involve putting a nanowire on a superconductor and then bringing, it doesn't have to be STM experiment. It can be just an ordinary tunneling experiment. And you're going to see these peaks, the zero bias peak, which we predict and which we have calculated, which will show you that you have Majorana. Okay, since time has run out, I'll just give you titles of the other things that other experiments you can do. I'll not explain them. You can do something called fractional Josephson effect. Again, not surprisingly, originally discussed by Alexei Kitaev in his 2001 paper, but we explicitly showed that this fractional Josephson effect will actually work in this Majorana wire, and fractional Josephson effect will be the definitive proof that you have this non-abelian particle. If they are not non-abelian, you cannot have fractional Josephson effect. Then there are other experiments you can do. So this is still fractional Josephson effect and persistent current measurement. People have already seen proximity effect in this nanowire superconductor system, several groups. And you can, well, let me just neglect the multiband thing. Let me neglect this also. You can also do some microwave absorption measurement. This is unpublished work, which also show signatures of Majorana. So there are many ways of looking at it. So let me just conclude before our chair gets completely haywire, that the search for the Majorana fermion may finally be coming to an end. Of course, it's up to the experimentalist. What I showed you is theory. But I want to emphasize this theory includes all the known junk effects, disorder, multiband occupancy, all the things that real systems have. This is a pure solid state physics calculation. This is not a topological proof only tells you that Majorana is protected. These numerical calculations show you that in a practical system, you have a good chance of seeing it. The Majorana may soon be observed in tabletop experiments as an emergent zero energy mode in solid state semiconductor superconductor sandwich structures or topological insulator superconductor structures. And that basically means that Majorana may return after a 75-year hiatus, thanks to Michael Friedman, because none of this would have been possible if Michael was not leading the charge. And I say this in all sincerity, kind of believing that these things are real. These things are not just topological fantasies. And these things are real, and they should be observable in experiment. So happy birthday, Michael.
The old Majorana fermions are fermions, they're particles.
Yeah.
And what we're mostly talking about here are zero-mode
modes.
Majorana operators.
Absolutely.
They're not creating particles. particles.
Absolutely.
If they flip the state of some other object,
correct,
they do not create a particle from the vacuum.
I completely agree.
This representation of these operators is really a further effect. It's a personalization.
Absolutely.
Very much like discovering spinner half objects,
yep,
when you know about spin one operators which generate rotations. Yeah.
It's actually
a more crucial point, yeah, for us than just real solutions of the data.
I completely agree with you. So what Nick is saying, that actually what we are doing is in some sense deeper than just seeing some particle is correct.
That's
yes,
point.
I completely agree.
I think people need to clean up their language, because I hope we can avoid statements like we saw in Science last week.
Absolutely. Right. Correct. Yes. Let me emphasize these things, and I never submit anything to Science and never review for them. This part article by Robert Service is really an extremely bad article.
Okay.
The Science article, yeah. Not just bad, extremely bad, but since he advertised it, I thought I should.
So with that,
we volunteered for you to write it. I wouldn't make a comment.
Go ahead, Eduardo. You are not scared of
me. No, I wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, we are all in agreement.
I think if you have the time, we should go on to the next.
Well, just quick question. I'm standing here. Go ahead.
No, he says I can't.
He's tough, I told you.
Next speaker is Nancy Fisher.
He's serious.